But the surgeons could not remove it all, and the biopsy showed that it was malignant. The tumor began to grow back, and Marie was not expected to live. The family decided to spend an evening praying for her healing, and her husband stayed up all night. He had a vision of the tumor being healed. But Marie seemed little improved when she woke up. You know, we expect to see the results of it immediately, don't we? However, she felt, because of the vision in her spirit, to stop taking her medication. Now, I want to stress again, we don't ever encourage that in this church unless you know it's coming from the Spirit of God. And usually that would come with confirmation. And she had confirmation from her family. And, you know, sometimes you need to go to the Lord about these things, because sometimes the medication, you know, kills worse things than what the disease was doing. So you always have to go to the Lord about these things. So she stopped taking the medication and continued to improve afterwards, as visits to her neurosurgeon confirmed with some amazement, until she was totally healed. And the book discusses the medical documentation and reproduces all the arteriograms that were taken on the arteries of her brain and everything. And, you know, that testimony really, when I read that through the week, it really uplifted me. Because, you know, I saw little Jason Bell and his mother this week, Joshua Bell, sorry, and his mother this week. And, you know, that kid was only expected to live 3 more weeks. And his brain tumor was like this. They said it was very aggressive, and it was growing back while he was having treatment. And I'll tell you, I walked back into the cafe. I could hardly contain myself. It's been 2 months on, and he's smiling. He's walking. You know, he was in a wheelchair for a fair bit in the early stages. He's walking. He was going home with his mom to make pet rocks. And, you know, I was talking with Ronnie this week in the hospital. I went to see her, and she said, Joshua's godmother is a nurse. And, like, she knows all the details and the stats on what he's been diagnosed. And she said to Ronnie, I know for a fact he should not still be here with us. That is God working in that child. And if I can encourage you all to just keep remembering, you know, it doesn't have to be ours. His name is Joshua. You just bring his face before the Lord and uphold this family, because I know they're feeling the prayers. They're feeling the undergirding. And it just so made my day to see them. It just blessed me just to see them that day and see that boy still here on this earth because of the blood of Jesus. Because of why we are remembering what we're doing today. And Andrew, I want to get you to come up here, because you had a testimony that you didn't give last week. And I told you, you'd still be able to give it. Yesterday, today, and forever.
All right. Probably about a week and a half ago. I dislocated my shoulder, probably playing squash and whatnot. And I didn't realize how bad it was until kind of the preceding days. There was just a lot of burning and a lot of lack of movement. I couldn't put my hand behind my back or anything like that. And I still had to work, and I was like, okay, how are we going to deal with this, Lord? And so I just, the Lord gave me a scripture, basically, that is about the rattling of the bones and the Lord putting, he says, you know, I want you to speak to your flesh. I'll speak to the flesh and speak to the bones. I'll put sinews on your bones. I'll put flesh on your body. I'll put skin on your bones and just, you know, renew everything and whatnot. And so I got a scripture for that. And so I just kept on, I put it on my phone. I kept on, every time the burning was happening and whatnot, I kept reading it out. I kept talking and, you know, speaking it out. It's pretty noisy. I can speak it out while I'm at work and whatnot. And got pretty annoyed with it. So I put the Bible on the app on my phone as well, and was listening to that and just charging it with a lot of the word and whatnot. And yeah, so by the I had to play squash again that night, you know, I didn't actually realize, I was sitting and I was waiting around, Ben was playing, and I didn't even realize until, you know, I was just about to play that, oh, hang on, all this burning is gone, it's not happening anymore. So yeah, it's pretty much for the most part gone away. And I did get it checked out by the osteo since then, and it definitely had been dislocated, and she could see all the swelling and whatnot. Even though there was swelling, there was no pain or anything like that. And it was just going away and just continuing to, you know, hold on to those verses. So sometimes you get a verse, and sometimes, you know,
that's it.
Yeah,
that's it, exactly. Thank you, Andrew. See, it's like we said last week, God gave him a word. Said, okay, stand on this, speak to those bones. And that became a rhema to him, and that changes things. And, you know, we used you for an example too last week, Susie. You weren't here, but, you know, like, and God gives you something, hold on to it. There's many, many different ways that God wants to heal and restore us. Many, many different ways. But until we can see it with our eyes, you know, we have to see what he sees. And when we see it with our eyes, we begin to see, you know, it's interesting because in Jesus' ministry, I won't start preaching now, but in Jesus' ministry, he, you know, things happened, like they rolled along and increased in his ministry. He didn't walk straight out into his ministry from coming out of the wilderness and raise the dead straight away. Who knows? Maybe that's just because it's that continual time of being able to see what the Father sees and hear what the Father hears. The more we see what he sees, the more we're going to see it corporately. I'm talking as body of believers, all right? It's not just your own individual fight. It's not your own individual thing. This is a corporate thing. God wants to see his people well, and the more corporate anointing that flows, and I mean, you don't have to be in this building. I'm saying the more enthusiasm and expectancy, it's been used that word this morning. If we all have that expectancy, we rub off on each other and we carry it through the week because we're encouraging one another. Get me? Praise God. We're going to take communion this morning. We're going to thank him for his precious blood and his broken body. What a privilege it is that we have the work of the cross, that we have Jesus, the name above every name. And nothing is above that name. No disease, no sickness, no illness, poverty, depression, nothing is above the name of Jesus. And we need to just raise our sights and our confidence and our expectation to see everything above that name. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just praise you this morning. We thank you. We thank you even for the little things we see on the way, the little improvements, Lord. And we thank you for when it happens instantly and miraculously. But Lord, regardless of that, your blood, your word, your name, this reason why we're remembering you, it was all for us. Lord, that to say that we are set free from sin, we are set free from sickness, and we thank you and we praise you, Lord, and we receive all of that atonement into our bodies, into our souls, into every part of our lives. We receive the price that you paid, Lord. We receive all the good things that came from that great exchange. And Lord, we just bless your name. Help us to be a people who remembers daily, Lord, even if it means putting the communion elements before our face daily, that we remember daily what you did for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake of the bread together. Cup together. Praise you, Lord. Praise. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Can we just sing that last chorus again while they're collecting the cups? Said and done in the rest of this service, we thank you that your spirit is here, your anointing is here, and Lord, your word will go forth and it will do and accomplish that which it set forth to do, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ben. You may be seated. Okay, we've been talking about healing, and like I said, until the Lord tells me change topic, that's where I'm going to be for a while. Every time I'm up here, that's what I'm going to do. It's just been, it's been really pressing on me, and the Holy Spirit's been leading me in that way. And so, you know, like I said before, you probably, a lot of what I'm saying you've heard before. But isn't that the beautiful thing about the Word? We can hear it over and over and over and over, and it's hearing it. That's how faith comes, is increased in us, is hearing it. You know, and you got to admit, the more you hear positive, encouraging things, the more you feel uplifted in your heart. And so the more the words in front of your face and what his promise says to you, the more it's in front of you, more so than what all the other reports say. I'll tell you, it would be very, very difficult living with terrible reports in front of you, especially medical reports. And I really feel for people who have that, who have to deal with that and face that, as well as symptoms in their body. That's why so much more we need to put what God says in front of our face. You know, and so that's what I feel the Lord has instructed me to do, endeavored to do, is to keep it in front of our face for a time. So I'm going to give you a lot of word this morning. You ready for it? And I thought, you know, we've looked at different eras in history and seen how, you know, God still healed in those eras. And just put our scripture up there, Sarah, that we've been looking at every week. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, everybody say it. If for nothing else, if you get in a spot or you get troubled by the enemy in your body, if you just remember this verse, just say it and remember he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Say it again. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so today I'm going to focus more on what the Old Testament says about healing. And it's by no means conclusive or exhaustive, okay? I would be here forever because there's so much when you get into really the Hebrew language and everything. There is so much there if you studied it. But I'm going to give you just a bit of an overview, just something to whet your appetite. I'm hoping by the end of whenever God tells me to finish, I'll produce some, you know, some, a handout with scriptures you can keep and hold on to. that might help you. So the first thing I want to mention, we're not going to look all these up because for time's sake, but we know that man was created totally perfect, whole, sinless. We know that. All right, we were created to live forever. We were created in the image of God. He did not create sickness and degeneration of the body. I don't know how we would have gone out of this earth when the earth when it was time for it to expire, because that's never happened. All right, but I know, like the angels of heaven or like the spiritual beings, we were designed to live forever, and our bodies were not designed to decay. But sin and sickness came in through the fall of man and through Satan himself when Adam and Eve gave over their authority and their position with God. And that's when sickness came into the world. But it's interesting that as soon as sin and disease came into this world, immediately the healer came in with the first promise. And that was in Genesis 3:15, and I didn't give you that, Sarah, it's okay. It was in Genesis 3:15 where, you know, God speaks to the serpent and to Eve and to Adam, and the promise comes that the woman's seed will bruise Satan's head. And that was Jesus Christ. And so that was the first promise of healing, total healing. Our spiritual healing, right, from sin and unrighteousness, and from our physical healing as well. So the promise came right at the beginning. And if you, like I say, if you dig scripture and study scripture, healing is right throughout the entire body of Bible, from Genesis right straight through to Revelation. And it just about every book, there's either records of healing or promises of healing in just about every book. So the first account that we actually see in the Bible is in Genesis 17 when Sarah was healed of barrenness. Okay, and we know the story there with Sarah and Abraham. She was quite old, and God opened up her womb, and she had a child. And there are four other cases in the Old Testament. Now, there was Manoah's wife, who was the mother of Samson. All right, she was barren, and she was healed of barrenness. Of course, Rachel, Jacob's wife, was healed of barrenness. And then there was Hannah, Samuel's mother, who was healed of barrenness. And the Shunammite woman, her son, she was healed of barrenness through the prophet Elijah. So those were five cases right there on just that, you know, God covers everything. God covers everything. And it's just about all in here. And if you read, you know, Deuteronomy 28, of course, has all the curses and all the blessings. And in one spot in the curses, it says, and anything else not mentioned here, basically, every other curse. All right? So in the blessings, we are covered for everything. And there's a whole lot mentioned in Deuteronomy 28. A whole lot. It could be depressing if you read it. But we've been redeemed from all of that. From all of that. Praise the Lord. And any other curse that's not mentioned. That's unbelievable. That's how good our God is. And so as I said last week, we saw Jesus, or God, reveal himself as Jehovah Rapha in Exodus 15:26 when he said, I am the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Rapha. And the literal translation of that is, I am the Lord, your physician. And it has a meaning of continual action, habitual, continual action. I am the Lord, your physician. Because remember, he is the I am. And God does not change. And when he reveals his character to a name of his to us, he is revealing his character to us and his nature. So that can't change. So when he revealed himself as our physician, our continual, habitual physician, when he revealed himself to us that way back in Exodus 15:26, that has not changed. Why? because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he was the physician in Exodus 15:26, he is our physician today, and he will always be our physician tomorrow, because he is the I am. And where he is, he is. And where his name is, he is. And his healing is for today. It's for every day, past, present, and future. Just like when he died, he took care of our sins, past, present, and future. He also took care of our sicknesses, past, present, and future. It was really an amazing exchange, an amazing, great exchange. Then if you go on in, when you get into the Kings, you see a lot of things happening between Elijah and Elisha, a lot of miracles. But the dead's raised three times. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah raised the widow's son. Her child was raised. In 2 Kings 4, Elisha raised the Shunammite's son, the one that was barren, and God gave her the son. Then he gets sick and dies, and Elisha raises him to life. And the interesting thing in that story was that all along, you know, her husband said, "What's the matter?" Because she was going to see the prophet. "Nothing, it'll be well. It'll be well." All along, she was asked, "It is well? It is well." Why? Because she already knew. She saw the prophet. She knew this child was a gift from God. So she could see it, even though she was looking at this dead child, she could see the promise before she even got there. She could see the promise. And then in 2 Kings 5, oh, wait a minute. In 2 Kings 13, we have the dead man that was put on Elisha's bones in the grave, and he came to life. How's that for a resurrection? I mean, everybody around there must have freaked out. Elisha had been dead who knows how long. His bones were just there. And someone's body, how's that for anointing? Wouldn't you like to carry? And he didn't even live in the new covenant, Elisha. He had the anointing upon. He didn't have the anointing within like we do. What's that telling us? Man, people should come to life and get healed by just touching us. Wow. We have to be able to see it, church. It's not impossible. It's not impossible. We need to be able to see it. As that song says, open the eyes of my heart. Open my spiritual eyes. Not impossible. 2 Kings 5, Naaman was healed of leprosy. And Naaman wasn't a believer. And, you know, he had to do some pretty humbling things to get healed of leprosy. He had to dip in the muddy Jordan 7 times. But he did what he was told. You know, you get a word from God. If he tells you to do something, do it. Do it, because there's a reason why he's telling you to do it. Bless the Lord. And then, talk about healing everything. In Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar, because of his arrogance, ends up being insane. Like really bad, wildly insane. Like a maniac. And yet, as soon as he turned, because what? God said, when you turn and acknowledge me, you know, you'll be healed. He was healed from insanity. Instantly, he came in his right mind. Don't tell me God doesn't heal our minds. You have the mind of God, Ken. You have the mind of God. Don't you say your memory keeps getting worse. You have the mind of God. That's a word from the Lord. No. I know I can tease you, Ken. You can take it. We do. We have the mind of Christ. You know, and it's back to those things, whatever you see on TV, you know, they're telling us all this stuff, you know, with insurance and all this, you know, and we're getting it all in our face about, you know, how many people say to me, even in the hospitals, you know, oh, well, you know, my mother had dementia, or my father had Alzheimer's, and, you know, I guess I can expect that. And I think, no. We're redeemed from the curse. Don't call it to yourself. Don't call it to yourself. Call what God says, the mind of Christ. And, you know, there's many, many others, but I want to focus on one this morning that's one of my favorites. And this is in 2 Kings chapter 20. So if we can go there, Sarah. I preached a message on this years ago when I told you about those healing crusades we used to have out in other churches. In the community. And just, we'd rent halls and just had it. And it always spoke to me. And this is the story of Hezekiah, and I just want to give you just a little brief overview on Hezekiah. He was one of the really good kings. He was a king of Judah after the kingdoms had split, and his father was also a very good king, but his father died very young, and Hezekiah took the throne when he was about 25. So he was very, very young, and he did everything that was in the heart of God. He trusted God, and he did everything according to King David, even the fathers of King David, who was in his line, of course. And so he purely, you know, and utterly obeyed and trusted God, and was a righteous man. And a lot of times people think, you know, why do good people get sick? God doesn't bring the sickness. We got to remember that we're living in a cursed world, and it's up to us to just keep our relationship with God going, so we can see it coming and we know how to deal with it, and we walk in our authority that Jesus has given us. So here we go. Here's a righteous man, and we'll start with verse 1. We're going to read 1 to 7, I believe. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Now, this is very interesting to me, because here in this day and age, we might get a doctor come and tell us, this doesn't look good, you're going to die and you're not going to live. And, you know, that's pretty, you know, you take it to heart, it's pretty gut-wrenching, and it would bring fear. But imagine the prophet of God coming to say that to you. It would be like the Holy Spirit or Jesus sitting there himself and saying, "Hey, guess what? You're going to die. You're not going to live." Now, that to me is a frightening thing. And I would have thought, wow, this is the prophet of God, you know? This is like God. This is God himself saying this to me. Why would God be telling me I'm going to die? And the first thing we think is, I'm righteous. You know, and in the Old Testament, that had a lot to do with it. The fact that you followed God and you followed to the best of your ability, because you knew you weren't going to cut it anyway until Jesus came. So you followed to the best of your ability. You obeyed the law. You obeyed those things. And that was pretty much the big prerequisite of walking in the provision and blessings of God and the health of God. We are so fortunate today that we just have to be in Christ. In Christ. And in a relationship with him. And even those who aren't get healed. God's amazing. Amazing. Anyway, so God says, you're going to die, buddy. And in verse 2, I love this. He gets that word. Now, would we do this even with a doctor's report? But remember, this is God saying this. In verse 2, it says, then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, now, he's going to remind God now. We're going to go into it. Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I've walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And, you know, God does say, contend with me, reason with me. You know, remind me of my covenant. We remind him of his covenant. We don't remind him of how good we are, because we're not. Okay? In Christ, it's his goodness. So we remind him of that. remind him of his covenant. And so he turned his face to the wall, and in verse 4, it happened before Isaiah had even gone out to the middle court, so he wasn't even out of the area yet, that the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, surely I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." So there are times, I know there's one more verse, I'll get there. There are times when things come at you, or whether it's the symptoms or the doctor's report, that you have to switch off from that, turn your face to the wall, switch off from what everybody's telling you, get your face in that word of God and or fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit and say, "No, I'm not going to have this. I'm not going to have this. Jesus is my physician. Jehovah Rapha, my healer." And just set your mind like a flint, they say. Just set your eyes on it and turn your face to that wall and just come against every evil report and every negative report. You're not denying it. You're not being stupid and denying it. You're denying its right to exist in your body. That's what you're denying. You're not denying the report. And then interesting again in verse 7, it says, "Then Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. So they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered." Now this boil had gotten all through his system. It was like real septic. It was bad. Okay? Now why didn't the prophet just lay his hand on him and go, boom, healed? You know, he'd done it for others, I'm sure. What did he do? Take a poultice of figs and lay it on the boil. Sometimes you need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Sometimes it is a natural means. You might be missing something. Missing something in your diet, missing something in your lifestyle, missing something, in your vitamin deficiency or whatever. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Always, always inquire of the Lord first. Andrew went to the Lord and got a word before he ever saw. Because I asked him last week, I said, "Did you see a doctor?" And he said, "No." He said, "I didn't feel to." All right? He did what God told him to do first. Then he went and saw the doctor. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with seeing a doctor. But what's wrong is when we put more stock in what they have to say than what the word has to say. Then that's when we lose it. Okay? Don't own a disease. You say this all the time, Susie. You know, your condition is not your conclusion. Don't own it. I'm not saying deny you have it. But I'm saying deny its right to be there and don't own it. My disease, my cancer. You know, the rotten cancer isn't going to get the best of me. It's not going to eat me up. It's not going to destroy me. Don't own it. It's so easy to own it. My arthritis. Don't own it. It's not what you want to own. Gloria Copeland used to always say, "Don't call the cat if you want the dog." I love it. If you want the dog, don't say, "Here, kitty, 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 kitty," because the cat's going to come and not the dog. Okay? If you want to be set free, you need to see yourself free even when you don't feel free. And I know this is basic stuff. I know this church knows it. But we need to be reminded all the time. Because it's hard, especially if you're battling something for a long time. Some people battle things for years. I don't know why, and I don't have answers for that. But like I said last week, it's not for us to judge why something happens or is not happening. It's just us to relate to who his name is and continue to relate to him and the names that he gives us and how he reveals himself to us. As long as we continue to relate to him like that, why doesn't matter. Unless God gives you a word, a specific, and the why is a reason why, you know, like a health issue, you know, like we said before, something of natural causes or whatever, maybe too much stress in your life. But, you know, let's not start, you know, feeling like we have to justify God. We don't have to justify God. We just have to know he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do what he says and don't own the disease. Don't make it your end. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is in your beginning, your middle, your today, and your end. He is forever. Amen. Are you getting worked up? Well, I'll tell you, I am. And then just, you know, the Psalms and Proverbs are loaded with it. Like I said, for brevity's sake, we can't go through everything. But Sarah, if you just put up Psalm 41, 1 to 3 there. And this is in the NIV. And it says this: blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble. The Lord protects and preserves them. They are counted among the blessed in the land. He does not give them over to the desire of their foes. And verse 3, the Lord sustains them on their sick bed. But notice he doesn't leave them there. He sustains them on their sick bed and restores them from their bed of illness. And the NLT says, nurses them back to health. If you can just visualize God nursing you back to health, see that. He's sustaining you in your time of sickness. You're not dead. You're still standing. He's sustaining you. See him nursing you back to health, restoring you to total, complete health. And then the next one, Sarah, in the NLT. Yep. Now this one, this Psalm 103, 1 to 5, I just chose to read it in the NLT this morning, but this is the scripture that's on those healing cards. And, you know, it's amazing how it uplifts the people in the hospital. And, like, especially in cancer care, when I go back the next time, they have it with them. And they said, I read this. I read this all the time. And I know Sue gives out heaps of them. And it says, let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. That's a key point there. Never forget the good things he does for you. Focus on what he is doing, not on what he seemingly is not doing or seems to be not doing. Focus on what he is doing. You know, every little improvement, always give glory to God. You know, no matter how small it is, give glory to God for every improvement and focus on what he is doing. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins, all, past, present, future. He heals all my diseases, past, present, future. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Let me tell you, I quote that one a lot. When this body starts saying it's getting old, I say, no, he renews my youth like the eagles. Praise God. It does work. It does work. When you really have confidence in the word and God, it does work. It does work. I could give you heaps of examples, but we'd be here forever. Yeah, sorry, I lost my place where I was. All right, so that's the Psalms. And, you know, and Proverbs actually gives us a lot for healthy living. And Proverbs is our wisdom book, isn't it? We gain heaps of wisdom from the book of Proverbs. And Sarah, Proverbs 3, 7, and 8 in the NIV. This is very important. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Sometimes we think we know better. Sometimes we think, I don't have to listen to that, or I don't have to listen to that doctor, or whatever. Sometimes you need to listen to the doctor. Maybe there's something you're missing that he can put his finger on, and then you know, okay, I'm going to believe God for this. Sometimes we might get cocky and think, oh, I can go off my medication, and you haven't had a word from the Lord about it. This says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil, and it's going to bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. I say that one a lot too. Lord's word brings health to my body and nourishment to my bones, strength to my bones. Amen. And Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. See, don't let them out of your sight, it says. What do? We let the TV ads in our sight and the medical reports in our sight and what our friends say, oh, that's bad, I had that, and you know what happened to me? People are awful like that, let me tell you. And they put that in their sight, but this says, pay attention to my words. Don't let them out of your sight. If you got to have it on your refrigerator or just have that, Andrew kept it on his phone, didn't you? He had it every time he had that burning feeling, he just remembered the word that God gave him. Keep that in your face. Keep that in your sight. Keep it within your heart. Why? Verse 22. His words are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. That includes your soul, your whole body. His words are life. Doesn't this get you all stirred up? Like, to me, it just revives. When you revive the things that, sure, you already know, but we're not doing. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are healing to the bone. Like I said before, watch what you say. Pleasant words. Proverbs 18:21 tells us life and death are in the power of the tongue. Oh, man, do you hear people talk death in the hospital. Wow, it's so hard. It's so hard. And I tell them this verse. I say, the Bible tells us that life and death are in the power of the tongue. So, you need to just speak life instead of death. And they look at me and they say, I never knew that. I said, I'll remember that. I'll remember that. And I said, and then you come along the lines of what they understand. Yeah, talk positive. Speak positive, Because if they're not born again, you can't say speak the word of God. They don't know it yet. But it gets them in that frame of mind of remembering our tongue, dictates a lot of things. Be very, very careful what we say. And then the last one I want to look at in the Old Testament is Malachi 4:2. And I liked how the NLT said this. It says, for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise. Now, let me tell you, he's already risen, hasn't he? The Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ. And our righteousness is in him. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And that means, the shafts of light, actually. The light that comes out of him. And what does the word say? His light is the life of men. So he has arisen with healing in his wings, and you will go free. Everybody say, I will go free. Everybody say, I am free. In Jesus' name, I am free. Whatever is holding you back, in Jesus' name, we're free this morning. You will go free, leaping with joy like calves let out to pasture. Can you see yourself? Especially people who have debilitating illnesses. Now, I know there's a couple in here. I'm not gonna embarrass people, all right? But man, just visualize yourself running free like a calf. Free. Wow. If we can see it, my cousin Dale says this a lot. He's written a book on healing. He's the one I showed you what he was doing in Africa just a couple weeks ago. He says, if you can see it, and sometimes it just takes time, just time in your relationship and your fellowship with the Father to see those things. Like, he sees ears opened all the time, but it took time for him to see that in his spirit. Okay, now he sees it all the time in his ministry, all over the world. So it's just spending that time with, just as you go along. I know we can't lock ourselves away for days and hours. I'm not saying that. I'm saying practice the presence of God, fellowshipping with him, and continually get to know him better. And it just happens. Like Andrew said, he didn't even realize, and then all of a sudden he did realize. And Sue, you said that about the pain in your mouth. All of a sudden it wasn't there. And you know, a lot of people say that. They wake up one morning and the pain they had was gone. To see yourself going free like a calf led out to pasture. And I said if I had time, I was going to read one more account, and I do. I think I do anyway. I've only been gone just over 30 minutes. This guy, R.W. Shambach, have you ever heard of him? He's kind of like in our family. My brother is married to his niece. And his daughter, Donna, because he's passed away now about a year ago or 2 years ago. His daughter, Donna, has taken over his ministry. And my nephew, Jonathan, works very closely. And they're in Costa Rica at the moment. They've been opening up a school and doing things like that in Costa Rica and seeing a lot of people get healed and saved. And it's our desire to get Donna to come out here maybe in 2016. So you might want to keep that in prayer. But anyway, this man, he had a lot of tent meetings. That was his thing. And he was a very flamboyant, very out there type guy. You know, we've had lunch with him on several occasions and been to some of his meetings, and he's quite a character. But I'll read you one of the accounts from his book. It's just called Miracles. And this is a spinal meningitis miracle. I was preaching in Buffalo, New York, and that's my territory, when a gentleman invited me and my staff to his home for dinner. We enjoy invitations like that when we can, because we get tired of quarter pounders and French fries. One thing he forgot to tell me, however, is that he didn't live in Buffalo, he lived in Niagara Falls. Which is my meetings don't get out at 9 o'clock. When you lay hands on thousands of people, it gets close to the midnight hour. After the meeting, we had to travel all the way to Niagara Falls. It only takes 20 minutes, but still. Whenever I'm invited out, I fast all day. I make sure I don't eat anything because I like to fill up while I'm there. The man's wife had outdone herself with the menu. It was one of the most bountiful tables I've ever seen. She had roast turkey, porterhouse steak, roast beef, fried chicken. In that part of the country, you don't invite a preacher unless you have fried chicken. The gentleman asked me to pray, and I blessed the food. We were anxious to start eating, but when the man began to speak, what he had to say was more interesting than the food. I actually pushed my plate back to listen. He said he'd never been sick a day in his life. He had money in the bank. His future was secure. He worked for the government. But all of a sudden, something struck him, spinal meningitis, and paralyzed him from head to toe. He spent over 3 months in the hospital. Now, this was many years ago, so, you know, the medical world wasn't as advanced as it is now. Doctors were called in from all over the world. Sorry. His bank account had dwindled. He had to sell his home for the equity to pay the doctor bills. Rheumatoid arthritis crept into every joint until he couldn't stand the pain. He lapsed into a coma for almost 4 months. Now, that's severe. This is all of a sudden someone who had been totally well. Since the man was Roman Catholic, his priest was called to administer the last rites of that church. So you know it's serious when the priest is called for the last rites. Lying in the coma, he knew what the priest was doing, but he couldn't communicate because he was paralyzed. See, don't ever doubt the power of God if someone's in a coma. Their body can't respond, but their spirit can. He knew he was in a coma. He knew he was paralyzed. He couldn't say anything, but he knew what was going on. He said, "I couldn't flicker an eyelash," he recalled. How would you feel when you know that the priest has given you the last rites, the last ceremony in the Catholic Church before you die? As soon as the priest left, another priest walked through the wall and over to the bed. There was something different about this priest. He was dressed all in white. Somebody can't make this up, okay? The new priest leaned down to the dying man and called him by name. He said, "You don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God." Of course, the man was lying there thinking, "What kind of crazy priest is this? I don't have any trouble. Here I am in a coma. I can't communicate. There's arthritis in every joint. I have spinal meningitis. I had to sell my home. My bank account is gone. Is that not trouble?" But the priest said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, and I'm going to heal you right now." Oh, yes. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus said, "When I walk out of this room, I want you to get out of this bed, shave, wash, and walk out of this hospital." So there's people that testify to this happening. "Go to the first bookstore you can find." This is Jesus telling him this. Don't tell me Jesus doesn't try every way to get people in the kingdom. Okay? "Go to the first bookstore you find and buy a Bible. Start reading from St. John's Gospel and you'll find the way to eternal life." He still does his own evangelization too. If he can't get you and I to do it, he'll go do it himself. You like that one, eh? Oh, hallelujah. The man told us that Jesus turned and walked right back through the wall. As the man was telling me the story, he looked at me and said, "Brother Shambach, I wonder why Jesus didn't just use the door." And Brother Shambach said, "He is the door. He can make an entrance wherever you are. He can come right into your automobile. He can visit you on your job. He can walk into your bedroom. No matter where you are, Jesus is the door. He will come in. If you always look in expectation for your miracle, the door is there. He is the door, just like he is Jehovah Rapha. Just look with expectation. Sue, he could walk into your place of work and, man, just blow them all their socks off. You know, I know they give you a hard time at work, but, man, I'll tell you, they're gonna rejoice with you one day. I really believe that. When Jesus walked out that room, the man got out of bed and started shaving. The nurse came tiptoeing. You know, this is a guy who was in a coma and dying and having his last rites. Gets up and starts shaving. The nurse came tiptoeing in. She wanted to pull the sheet over because the other priest had walked out. See, she didn't see the real priest. But she saw the bed empty. She ran into the bathroom and said, "Please get back into bed. Don't you know you are dying?" Look, you gotta love it. You know, and good-meaning friends and loved ones will say that to you. "You shouldn't do that. Don't you know you're sick? Don't you know you're dying? Don't you know, you know?" Oh. The man said to her, "Cool it, honey. Another priest came in and gave me the first rites all over again. I'm going to live." Man, when you have an experience with God, you're never at the mercy of a man with an argument. People will come to you and say, I don't believe in healing. And this is what R.W. would say. All you have to do is laugh and say, then you could stay sick. My God healed me. Man, if that doesn't stir you up, I don't know what does. Let's stand up. I went a little bit over to read you that, but I thought it was just too good to pass up. Let's sing that first song, Ben. We'll just close with that. Oh, he's not here? He had to go? Okay. You want to play?